Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. This is Pardes from Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, Pardes alum. This week, B'Shalach. This week, Rabbi Levi Cooper discusses B'Shalach. Rabbi Levi Cooper is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi Levi Cooper.
This week's Torah portion, Parshat B'Shalach, begins with a fantastic story of the splitting of the sea. The Jewish people, the Israelites, have just escaped slavery in Egypt, and they find themselves trapped. Behind them, in hot pursuit, the Egyptians, and in front of them, the Red Sea. What are they going to do? Miraculously, the Almighty splits the sea, creating paths so that the Jewish people can walk through on dry land. They walk through, scurrying to the other side of the sea. The Egyptians, in hot pursuit, follow them. But once the Israelites reach the other side, with the Egyptians where the sea used to be, the walls of water come crashing down, and the Jewish people are saved. In celebration, they sing a song, the song of the sea, Az Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael. And my friends, that song will become part of the daily morning service. We'll recite it every day as part of Shacharit. But once they find themselves after the euphoria of the splitting of the Red Sea has subsided, the Israelites find themselves on the other side, in a desert. And they're hungry. And they begin to complain. What did you take us out of Egypt for, just so we would die in the desert? And at that point, the Almighty promises to give them man. In English, manna. The Almighty says, don't worry, I will sustain you in the desert. And the manna was a special food. It was a miraculous food, a magical food. The sages point out that it had a variety of tastes. But even without going to the sages, before we read the words of the sages, the text itself describes how every day there was an exact portion for each and every person. And on Friday, there was a double portion, so that people would not have to go out to collect manna on Saturday. And this double portion is described in the text as Lechem Mishneh. It's the inspiration for the two chalot that we have at each and every of our meals on Shabbat. So the manna is part of Jewish collective memory. It is the inspiration for a ritual that continues to this very day. Those two portions on Friday. What about those who perhaps weren't so convinced? They saw the manna every day. They thought there'd be manna also on Saturday. So on Shabbat, they went out to collect man. What did they find? They didn't find anything. There was manna only on the 6 days of the week. And on Friday, Lechem Mishneh, a double portion. And the verse says, I'm reading from Exodus, Perek Tet Zayin, that's chapter 16, Pasuk Chaf Tet, verse 29. Re'u, see, ki Adonai natan lachem ha-Shabbat, that God has given you the Sabbath. And the truth is that the word re'u, see, is a strange word to have here. Because those who went out on the seventh day, what did they see? They didn't see anything. So what does it mean that see that God gave you the Sabbath? On Sabbath, they wouldn't have seen that. The Talmud just says that see See really means tell them about it. And the passage appears twice in the Talmud. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe. God said to Moses, Matana tova yesh li bevet gnazai. I have a great gift in my treasure trove. V'Shabbat Shma. And this gift is called Shabbat. V'ani mevakesh litna li Yisrael. And I want to give it to Israel. Lech v'hodiyam. Go and tell them that I want to give them this gift. And that's what Moses says. That's what the verse says. Re'u, see the gift that God has given. Sabbath, Shabbat, is a gift. The Midrash describes another way of looking at Sabbath, at looking at Shabbat, as a gift. The Midrash describes how only a few weeks ago, in Parshat Shmot, Moses goes out and he sees the Israelite slaves suffering. And Moses goes to Paro, and Moses says to Paro, anybody who has a slave, lets the slave rest for at least one day. Because if you don't let the slave rest one day a week, then the slave will die. But you, Pharaoh, you don't even give them one day of rest a week. They're all going to die. Pharaoh listened to Moses and says, you know what? Give them a day. Go and tell them, Moses. Moses goes and he says, team, you can have one day of rest. Which day? You know what? Take Saturday as your day of rest. Moses chose that seventh day that would later be recognized as Shabbat. And that's why we say in the prayers every Shabbat morning, Yismach Moshe b'matnat chelko. Moses was overjoyed in the gift that he as gave the Jewish people, because he chose a date that would go down in Jewish history, in Jewish memory, in Jewish identity as the Sabbath. And that's why Shabbat is such a present, such a gift. But you know, friends, when you get a gift, when you know you're about to get a gift, you just can't wait to receive it. And if it's a gift that you like, you hold on to it. You don't want to let it go. And that brings us to a particular law regarding Shabbat, a law that perhaps not everybody is so familiar with. The law is known as Tosefet Shabbat, an addition to Shabbat. What's the source of adding to Shabbat? Not just starting Shabbat at the exact moment when Shabbat starts, but trying to bring it in a little bit earlier and not ending Shabbat exactly at the moment when the day ends, but carrying it over a little bit, stretching it out a little bit. There are two sources for this law of Tosefet Shabbat. One appears in the Talmud. The Talmud tells us that, you know, we're mere humans. And as humans, we cannot be really exacting. And therefore, even though we have calculations and we have computer programs that can calculate exactly when the sunset is, and we could stand, we can look outside and say, wait, not yet, not yet. Nevertheless, as humans, we are prone to error. And therefore, to avoid even transgressing one moment of Shabbat, we bring Shabbat in a little bit earlier. And to avoid ending Shabbat even one moment too early, we extend Shabbat a little bit at the end of the day. That's what it says in the Talmud. The Midrash, my friends, has a different explanation. The Midrash says, Tosefet Shabbat is not about being careful. Tosefet Shabbat is learned out from the phrase in the Ten Commandments that teaches us that we have to keep Shabbat. Zachor et Yom HaShabbat, or Shamor et Yom HaShabbat. Remember the day of Sabbath. Keep the day of Sabbath. Zachor, that's what appeared apparently in the first tablets. The second tablets, Shamor et Yom HaShabbat, guard the Sabbath day. Zachor appears in Parshat Yitro. Shamor appears in Parshat Va'etchanan. The Midrash says, Zachor v'Shamor. How do we remember Shabbat? How do we keep Shabbat? We remember Shabbat early by bringing it in, adding a little bit of extra holiness to the weekday. And how do we guard Shabbat? How do we hold on to it? By not leaving Shabbat immediately at the end, by extending Shabbat a little bit. According to this Midrash, Tosefet Shabbat is not just because I don't exactly know when Shabbat begins and ends. Tosefet Shabbat is a way that I express my love for Shabbat, the way I hold on to Shabbat, the way I anticipate Shabbat. And this leads to an interesting halachic question that in my community in Sur Hadassah, we have just been dealing with. How do you accept Shabbat before Shabbat actually comes in? So there's a number of ways of accepting Shabbat, and there's quite an extensive discussion on this topic. For women, according to Jewish tradition, it's rather simple. When a woman lights Shabbos candles, she accepts upon herself Shabbat. But for men, it's a little more challenging because there isn't a set ritual of accepting Shabbat for men. Even those men who light Shabbos candles, according to Jewish tradition, that is not necessarily the moment that they accept Shabbat. So when do men accept Shabbat? Or women who don't light Shabbat candles? Or women who light Shabbat candles but explicitly state that their lighting of Shabbat candles is not accepting Shabbat? How do such people keep the mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat? How do they add on to Shabbat? And we can broadly divide the halachic authorities into two categories. According to one school of thought, the way to accept Shabbat is through a statement. We need to positively say, I am now accepting Shabbat. And that can be either with a simple statement that sounds something like that, or through one of the prayers of Kabbalat Shabbat, of receiving Sabbath. And here we have many different opinions as to what actually needs to be said in order to receive the Shabbat. Is it the beginning of Kabbalat Shabbat? L'chun ranana? Is it when everybody stands up and says, Mizmor le-David? Perhaps it is the great poem, L'cha Dodi, a poem that dates back to the 16th century, written by Rav Shlomo Alkabetz in Tzfat. Or perhaps it's not L'cha Dodi, the beginning of that poem, but it's the end of the poem where we say, Boi Kala, come O bride, and Shabbat is compared to a bride. Or perhaps it's the next part of Kabbalat Shabbat where we sing the song in praise of Shabbat, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat. Or perhaps it's not even where we do Kabbalat Shabbat, but it's when we start Tfilat Arvit, the evening prayer, and we say Baruchu Et Hashem HaMavorach, and we bless, and we begin the evening prayer. So you can see, my friends, there are quite a number of opinions. Occasionally, some of those portions of prayer are said, could be said after dark, after Shabbat has already come in, which means that we would miss the opportunity for Tosefet Shabbat. There's another school of thought that says you don't need an explicit statement. Rather, it's enough that a person has made a decision, even without saying it, that they have left the work week. That in itself is accepting Shabbat. And there are a number of reliable halachic authorities that hold that indeed you don't need a specific statement. I recently saw this in the writings of Rabbi Shalom Mashash, a Moroccan rabbi who came to the land of Israel and served as chief rabbi of Jerusalem. In his responsa, that's exactly what he says. You don't need to say anything. You just need to leave the work week. Stop working. In a similar vein, Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul, who was born here in Jerusalem, but his family was originally from Persia. And he writes that also it's enough to just think, feel, be in that space of Shabbat. And that already is Tosefet Shabbat. To be fair, Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul adds in the footnotes to his work, he says that according to mystical tradition, where we try to fulfill every commandment in thought, speech, and action, it's a good idea to say something. But from a strict Jewish legal perspective, it's enough just to be in that space of Shabbat for Tosefet Shabbat. Similarly, there's a tale told about Rav Moshe Feinstein, the great Poisek, the great legal authority of the previous generation in America, that he was once asked whether he is careful to accept Shabbat with a certain statement. And Rav Moshe looked at the person who asked him the question with some surprise. He said, "It's the first time I've ever heard of such a custom." So we can see that it is enough just to leave the work week. And that already is Tosefet Shabbat, accepting upon ourselves Shabbat. My friends, in our community, and I'm sure in many of your communities as well, we go into shul, and when we go into the Beit Knesset, into the synagogue, before we even begin the Shabbat prayers, before we begin those Shabbat prayers, we often sing a song. In Ashkenazi communities, we may sing Yedid Nefesh. In Sephardi communities, we may read Megillat Shir Hashirim, the Song of Songs. And I would like to suggest, and this is what I told my community here in Sur Hadassah, that as we sit there singing these songs or reading Shir Hashirim, sitting there in our Shabbos attire, we are already moving into that Shabbos space. And I would suggest that at that moment, we already begin experiencing Shabbat, because you don't sing Yedid Nefesh normally during the week. You don't read Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, during the week. We've already moved into that space of Shabbos. And I would argue that then already we have accepted upon ourselves the holiness of Shabbos. And we have the opportunity of Tosefet Shabbat, adding to this holy day. Let me conclude, my friends, that Tosefet Shabbat, if we're honest with ourselves, is rarely a focus. Perhaps in some communities, some homes, it may even be slightly neglected. I'm sure we have a friend who challenges the clock every week, waiting for the last possible moment to enter Shabbat. And we may have a friend that waits looking at their watch for the earliest possible moment to end Shabbat. But surely, my friends, as we realize that Shabbat is a precious gift, we shouldn't try to keep it in its minimum form. We should try to extend its boundaries, start it a little earlier, and extend it, extend this holy day, extend the gift a little bit later. Run to Shabbat, and don't run away from Shabbat. That is Tosefet Shabbat, the addition of Shabbat. And in that way, we show how much we love this gift, the gift of Shabbat. That's all for now. Until the next time, to the Beit Midrash!
Thank you, Rabbi Cooper. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.